It has been more than 16 years since a civilian working for the Navy was charged with passing secrets to Israel. Jonathan Pollard pled guilty to conspiracy to commit espionage and is serving a life sentence. At first, Israeli leaders claimed Pollard was part of a rogue operation, but later took responsibility for his work. Now Fox News has learned some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S., who may have known things they didn't tell us before September 11th. Fox News correspondent Carl Cameron has details in the first of a four-part series.
Since September 11th, more than 60 Israelis have been arrested or detained, either under the new Patriot Anti-Terrorism Law or for immigration violations. A handful of active Israeli military were among those detained, according to investigators, who say some of the detainees also failed polygraph questions when asked about alleged surveillance activities against and in the United States. There is no indication that the Israelis were involved in the 9/11 attacks, but investigators suspect that the Israelis may have gathered intelligence about the attacks in advance and not shared it. A highly placed investigator said there are, quote, tie-ins, but when asked for details, he flatly refused to describe them, saying, quote, evidence linking these Israelis to 9/11 is classified. I cannot tell you about evidence that has been gathered. It's classified information. Fox News has learned that one group of Israelis, spotted in North Carolina recently, is suspected of keeping an apartment in California to spy on a group of Arabs who the United States is also investigating for links to terrorism. Numerous classified documents obtained by Fox News indicate that even prior to September 11th, as many as 140 other Israelis had been detained or arrested in a secretive and sprawling investigation into suspected espionage by Israelis in the United States. Investigators from numerous government agencies are part of a working group that's been compiling evidence since the mid-90s. These documents detail hundreds of incidents in cities and towns across the country that investigators say, quote, may well be an organized intelligence gathering activity. The first part of the investigation focuses on Israelis who say they are art students from the University of Jerusalem and Bezalel Academy. They repeatedly made contact with U.S. government personnel, the report says, by saying they wanted to sell cheap art or handiwork. Documents say they, quote, targeted and penetrated military bases, the DEA, FBI, and dozens of other government facilities, and even secret offices and unlisted private homes of law enforcement and intelligence personnel. The majority of those questioned, quote, stated they served in military intelligence, electronic surveillance intercept, and/or explosive ordnance units. Another part of the investigation has resulted in the detention and arrests of dozens of Israelis at American mall kiosks, where they've been selling toys called Puzzle Car and Zoomcopter. Investigators suspect a front. Shortly after the New York Times and Washington Post reported the Israeli detentions last month, the carts began vanishing. Zoomcopter's webpage says, "We are aware of the situation caused by thousands of mall carts being closed at the last minute. This in no way reflects the quality of the toy or its saleability. The problem lies in the operator's business policies." Why would Israelis spy in and on the U.S.? A General Accounting Office investigation referred to Israel as Country A and said, quote, according to a U.S. intelligence agency, the government of Country A conducts the most aggressive espionage operation against the U.S. of any U.S. ally. A defense intelligence report said Israel has a voracious appetite for information and, quote, the Israelis are motivated by strong survival instincts which dictate every facet of their political and economic policies. It aggressively collects military and industrial technology, and the U.S. is a high priority target. The document concludes, quote, Israel possesses the resources and technical capability to achieve its collection objectives.
A spokesman for the Israeli embassy here in Washington issued a categorical denial, saying any suggestion that Israelis are spying in or on the U.S. is, quote, simply not true. There are other things to consider, and in the days ahead, we will take a look at the U.S. phone system and law enforcement's methods for wiretaps, and an investigation into the possibility that both have been compromised by our friends and allies overseas. Brett?
Carl, what about this question of advanced knowledge of what was going to happen on 9/11? How clear are investigators that some Israeli agents may have known something?
Well, it's very explosive information, obviously, and there's a great deal of evidence that they say they have collected, none of it necessarily conclusive. It's more when they put it all together. A bigger question, they say, is how could they not have known? Almost a direct quote, Brett.
Yeah, this going to the fact that they were spying on some Arabs, right?
Correct.
All right, Carl. Thanks very much. reported on the approximately 60 Israelis who had been detained in connection with the September 11th terrorism investigation. Carl Cameron reported that U.S. investigators suspect that some of these Israelis were spying on Arabs in this country and may have turned up information on the planned terrorist attacks back in September that was not passed on. Tonight, in the second of four reports on spying by Israelis in the U.S., we learn about an Israeli-based private communications company for whom a half dozen of those 60 detained suspects worked. American investigators fear information generated by this firm may have fallen into the wrong hands and had the effect of impeding the September 11th terror inquiry. Here's Carl Cameron's second report.
Fox News has learned that some American terrorism investigators fear certain suspects in the September 11th attacks may have managed to stay ahead of them by knowing who and when investigators are calling on the telephone. How? By obtaining and analyzing data that's generated every time someone in the U.S. makes a phone call.
One city and state, please.
Here's how the system works. Most directory assistance calls and virtually all call records and billing in the U.S. are done for the phone companies by Amdocs Limited, an Israeli-based private telecommunications company. Amdocs has contracts with the 25 biggest phone companies in America and more worldwide. The White House and other secure government phone lines are protected, but it is virtually impossible to make a call on normal phones without generating an Amdocs record of it. In recent years, the FBI and other government agencies have investigated Amdocs more than once. The firm has repeatedly and adamantly denied any security breaches or wrongdoing. But sources tell Fox News that in 1999, the super-secret National Security Agency, headquartered in Northern Maryland, issued what's called a top-secret, sensitive, compartmentalized information report, TSSCI, warning that records of calls in the United States were getting into foreign hands, in Israel in particular. Investigators do not believe calls are being listened to, but the data about who's calling whom and when is plenty valuable in itself. An internal Amdocs memo to senior company executives suggests just how Amdocs-generated call records could be used, quote, widespread data mining techniques and algorithms, combining both the properties of the customer, like credit rating, and properties of the specific behavior such as whom the customers are calling. The Amdocs memo says the system should be used to prevent phone fraud, but U.S. counterintelligence analysts say it could also be used to spy through the phone system. Fox News has learned that the NSA has held numerous classified conferences to warn the FBI and CIA how Amdocs records could be used. At one NSA briefing, a diagram by the Argonne National Lab was used to show that if the phone records are not secure, major security breaches are possible. Another briefing document said, quote, it has become increasingly apparent that systems and networks are vulnerable. Such crimes always involve unauthorized persons or persons who exceed their authorization, acting on exploitable vulnerabilities. Those vulnerabilities are growing because, according to another briefing, the U.S. relies too much on foreign companies like Amdocs for high-tech equipment and software, quote, many factors have led to increased dependence on code developed overseas. We buy rather than train or develop solutions. U.S. intelligence does not believe the Israeli government is involved in a misuse of Amdocs information, and Amdocs insists that its data is secure. What U.S. government officials are worried about, however, is the possibility that Amdocs data could get into the wrong hands, particularly organized crime, and that would not be the first time that such a thing has happened. Fox News has documents of a 1997 drug trafficking case in Los Angeles in which telephone information, the types that Amdocs collects, was used to, quote, completely compromise the communications of the FBI, the Secret Service, the DEA, and the LAPD. And we'll have that and a lot more in the days ahead, Brett.
Carl, I want to take you back to your report last night on those 60 people who were Israelis who were detained in the anti-terror investigation and the suspicion that some investigators have that they may have picked up information on the 9/11 attacks ahead of time, not passed it on. There was a report, you'll recall, that the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency, did indeed send representatives to the U.S. to warn just before 9/11 that a major terrorist attack was imminent. Why does that not, how does that leave room for the lack of a warning?
Well, I remember the report, Britt. We did it first internationally right here on your show on the 14th. What investigators are saying is that that warning from the Mossad was nonspecific and general, and they believe that it may have had something to do with the desire to protect what are called sources and methods in the intelligence community. The suspicion being perhaps those sources and methods were taking place right here in the United States. The question came up in the Select Intelligence Committee on Capitol Hill today. They intend to look into what we reported last night, and specifically that possibility, Brett.
So, in other words, the problem wasn't the lack of a warning, the problem was lack of the of useful details.
Quantity of information.
All right, Carl, thanks very much. Coming up next, Israeli-based company called Amdocs that generates the computerized records and billing data for nearly every phone call made in America. As Carl Cameron reported, U.S. investigators digging into the 9/11 terrorist attacks fear that suspects may have been tipped off to what they were doing by information leaking out of Amdocs. In tonight's report, we learned that the concern about phone security extends to another company founded in Israel that provides the technology that the U.S. government uses for electronic eavesdropping. Here is Carl Cameron's third report.
The company is Comverse Infosys, a subsidiary of an Israeli-run private telecommunications firm with offices throughout the U.S. It provides wiretapping equipment for law enforcement. Here's how wiretapping works in the U.S. Every time you make a call, it passes through the nation's elaborate network of switchers and routers run by the phone companies. Custom computers and software made by companies like Comverse are tied into that network to intercept, record, and store the wiretapped calls, and at the same time transmit them to investigators. The manufacturers have continuing access to the computers so they can service them and keep them free of glitches. This process was authorized by the 1994 Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, or CALEA. Senior government officials have now told Fox News that while CALEA made wiretapping easier, it has led to a system that is seriously vulnerable to compromise and may have undermined the whole wiretapping system. Indeed, Fox News has learned that Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller were both warned October 18th in a hand-delivered letter from 15 local, state, and federal law enforcement officials who complained that, quote, law enforcement's current electronic surveillance capabilities are less effective today than they were at the time CALEA was enacted. Comverse insists the equipment it installs is secure, but the complaint about this system is that the wiretap computer programs made by Comverse have, in effect, a back door through which wiretaps themselves can be intercepted by unauthorized parties. Adding to the suspicions is the fact that in Israel, Comverse works closely with the Israeli government and under special programs gets reimbursed for up to 50% of its research and development costs by the Israeli Ministry of Industry and Trade. But investigators within the DEA, INS, and FBI have all told Fox News that to pursue or even suggest Israeli spying through Comverse is considered career suicide. And sources say that while various FBI inquiries into Comverse have been conducted over the years, they've been halted before the actual equipment has ever been thoroughly tested for leaks. A 1999 FCC document indicates several government agencies expressed deep concerns that too many unauthorized, non-law enforcement personnel can access the wiretap system. And the FBI's own nondescript office in Chantilly, Virginia, that actually oversees the CALEA wiretapping program, is among the most agitated about the threat. But there is a bitter turf war internally at FBI. It is the FBI's office in Quantico, Virginia, that has jurisdiction over awarding contracts and buying intercept equipment. And for years, they've thrown much of the business to Comverse. A handful of former U.S. law enforcement officials involved in awarding Comverse government contracts over the years now work for the company. Numerous sources say some of those individuals were asked to leave government service under what knowledgeable sources call troublesome circumstances that remain under administrative review within the Justice Department.
And what troubles investigators most, particularly in New York, in the counterterrorism investigation of the World Trade Center attack, is that on a number of cases, suspects that they had sought to wiretap and surveil immediately changed their telecommunications processes. They started acting much differently as soon as those supposedly secret wiretaps went into place. Brett?
Carl, is there any reason to suspect in this instance that the Israeli government is involved?
No, there's not, but there are growing instincts and an awful lot of law enforcement officials in a variety of agencies who suspect that and have begun compiling evidence and a highly classified investigation into precisely that possibility. Brett?
All right, Carl. Thanks very much.
On a long-standing government espionage investigation, federal officials this year have arrested or detained nearly 200 Israeli citizens suspected of belonging to a, quote, organized intelligence gathering operation. The Bush administration has deported most of those arrested after September 11th, although some are in custody under the new anti-terrorism law. Cameron also described an investigation into the possibility that an Israeli firm generated billing data that could be used for intelligence purposes and described concerns that the federal government's own wiretapping system may be vulnerable. Tonight, in part four of the series, we'll learn about the improbable roots of the probe, a drug case that went bad 4 years ago in L.A.
Los Angeles, 1997. A major local, state, and federal drug investigation sours. The suspects? Israeli organized crime, with operations in New York, Miami, Las Vegas, Canada, Israel, and Egypt. The allegations? Cocaine and ecstasy trafficking, and sophisticated white-collar credit card and computer fraud. The problem? According to classified law enforcement documents obtained by Fox News, the bad guys had the cops' beepers, cell phones, even home phones under surveillance. Some who did get caught admitted to having hundreds of numbers and using them to avoid arrest. Quote, this compromised law enforcement communications between LAPD detectives and other assigned law enforcement officers working various aspects of the case. The organization discovered communications between Organized Crime Intelligence Division detectives, the FBI, and the Secret Service. Shock spread from the DEA to the FBI in Washington and then the CIA. An investigation of the problem, according to law enforcement documents, concluded, quote, the organization has apparent extensive access to database systems to identify pertinent personal and biographical information. When investigators tried to find out where the information might have come from, they looked at Amdocs, a publicly traded firm based in Israel. Amdocs generates billing data for virtually every call in America, and they do credit checks. The company denies any leaks, but investigators still fear that the firm's data is getting into the wrong hands. When investigators checked their own wiretapping system for leaks, they grew concerned about potential vulnerabilities in the computers that intercept, record, and store the wiretapped calls. A main contractor is Comverse Infosys, which works closely with the Israeli government and under a special grant program is reimbursed for up to 50% of its research and development costs by Israel's Ministry of Industry and Trade. Asked this week about another sprawling investigation and the detention of 60 Israelis since September 11th, the Bush administration treated the questions like hot potatoes.
I will just refer you to Department of Justice with it. I'm not familiar with the report.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained. With respect to why they are being detained and the other aspects of your question, whether it's because they are in intelligence services or what they were doing, I will defer to the Department of Justice and the FBI to answer that.
Beyond the 60 apprehended or detained and many deported since September 11th, another group of 140 Israeli individuals have been arrested and detained in this year in what government documents describe as, quote, an organized intelligence gathering operation designed to, quote, penetrate government facilities. Most of those individuals said they had served in the Israeli military, which is compulsory there, but they also had, most of them, intelligence expertise and either worked for Amdocs or other companies in Israel that specialize in wiretapping. Earlier this week, the Israeli embassy here in Washington denied any spying against or in the United States. Tony?
Carl, we've heard the comments from Ari Fleischer and Colin Powell. What are officials saying behind the scenes?
Well, there's real pandemonium described at both the FBI, the DEA, and the INS. A lot of these problems have been well known to some investigators, many of whom have contributed to the reporting on this story. And what they say is happening is supervisors and management are now going back and collecting much of the information because there's tremendous pressure from top levels of all of those agencies to find out exactly what's going on. At the DEA and the FBI already, a variety of administrative reviews are underway in addition to the investigation of the phenomenon. They want to find out how it is that all this has come out, as well as be very careful because of the explosive nature and very political ramifications of the story itself. Tony?
All right, Carl. Thanks.
Los Angeles, good morning.
Good morning. Brian, thank you for your network, actually. Mr. Wolf, back in December, Carl Cameron from Fox News ran a four-part series that detailed like a massive spying operation by Israel that was tapping all the phones in the United States and tapping all the secure lines of the FBI, the CIA, and the White House.
All the phones in the United States?
Yeah, through companies that
imagine that transcription effort.
Well, of course, it's done with keywords and all that in software. But the other thing was that all the secure lines at the White House and basically the entire federal government. They also said, and this was corroborated in a report released by the DEA, that there was a team of art students that were expelled. Actually, it was the largest spy-related expulsion in American history, that had teams of intelligence guys, Israeli intelligence guys, on the same block.
This was a Fox report?
A Fox report by Carl Cameron. It was then. And they were the only ones that picked it up, although...
Is that good or bad? Did you believe the report?
There definitely was a true report. The local newspaper reports had it and others, but no one on the air carried it except Fox News. And then, to make matters worse, Fox News, even on their web, you can go into the December archives and look at the report. Actually, you can look at where the report was, Israeli spying or whatever, and they actually pulled it from the archives and nobody followed up.
This is a conspiracy of silence, are you saying?
Well, if you go back to the archives, Mr. Wolf, you'll see that it's the only report pulled. The archives go back through, you know, like last year.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the call.
Next call for Bill Gertz comes from Newark, Delaware, on our independent line. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's see, I was interested in the story Carl Cameron broke, 120 Israeli spies that were arrested in the United States shortly after the September incident, and some of these people had been shadowing the terrorists that blew up the buildings, living in the vicinity and keeping up with them. On May 17th, two Israelis were arrested in Washington State in a van that had traces of high explosives. I think it was five Israeli military spies, as they, you know, the way they described, were in a building in Brooklyn watching the September bombing, and all of this has been kept out of the press. And I just wonder. I mean, this is good reading. This is what we want to know about. You know, if Israel supposedly knew, and there's stories that that their intelligence agency told our government, why isn't that the story? When did we know? What did they know? When did they let us know?
Are you familiar with this story?
Yes, good questions. As for the 120 Israeli spies, that's a story that's out there. I've looked at that a little bit. I really haven't found really what's behind that story. What is going on there is that there have been a number of Israelis, and I've actually seen some people come to my house in Maryland who are selling art, and they identify themselves as students, and there's something unusual about it. I have a feeling that this may be some collection aspect to it, but I don't see any kind of major effort to figure out. I know that the U.S. government has expelled some of these people. You mentioned the May 17th incident on the West Coast. I looked into this very carefully, and this was a story that two Israeli nationals were stopped in a rental van near a military, I think it was a naval base in Washington State. And the initial reports were that they had somehow detected some explosives on the steering wheel. And obviously that's a huge story. Well, I looked into it, and the word I got from federal officials was that it was a false indicator, that there weren't really explosive traces there. Now, I don't know what to make of it. I'm not out there. If I were out there, perhaps I could get a little bit closer to the story. But the initial blush on that was that there wasn't anything to it.
Could you go back? You mentioned students selling art. What was the connection again to the
Well, that somehow these Israeli art students have been spotted around a number of places, including some federal buildings, and that has raised some counterintelligence concerns within the U.S. government that perhaps the Israelis have been conducting some type of intelligence collection activities. I haven't really been able to get all the facts of that story, but I've seen, I think he was referring to Carl Cameron's story on Fox News, and he's done some good reporting on it.
But one thing I really want to ask you, and I hope you bring it up when Carl Cameron comes on, mm-hmm. is that there's a big controversy over a report he did for Fox on 9/11, and where he implicated or he suggested that it was in a four-part series that there were a bunch of Israeli art students that were involved in espionage and may have been following Al-Qaeda, and there was concern that they didn't report this incident to the American authorities, and they were eventually left on visa violations. They were arrested, about 140 of them. Carl Cameron reported this, and it was a big brouhaha, and it was on Fox's website, and it was taken off of Fox's website, and it's been a big story in Le Monde. It's mm-hmm. been a big story in L'Humanité, and it's been reported in Salon.com, and everywhere you turn and you see the story, the whole thing is always reported about Carl Cameron and his story. And with these oblique quotes about Carl Cameron being puzzled by the strong reaction and everything, so please ask it. I tell you more. You'll probably have more guests ask Carl Cameron the same thing.
We've had a number of calls on that as well, and he'll be here in about 35 minutes. We'll bring it up with
next
him.
Next call, Silver Spring, Maryland, Republican line for Carl Cameron.
Yes, yes. Good morning. I'm calling to congratulate Mr. Cameron on his reporting. He broke one of the most important stories this year with the Israeli spy ring. Problem was that Fox News pulled off the networks almost as soon as he reported it. And I'd just like to ask Mr. Cameron how he felt about that and how he feels in general when news with the potentially damaging or incriminating information against Israel is pulled off almost as soon as it's aired.
Thank you. And we should point out, Carl Cameron, that one of the first calls about an hour and 20 minutes ago dealt with this very issue. First of all, what is the caller talking about and what happened?
In December of last year, Fox did a four-part series. I reported a four-part series that described several scenarios, several dynamics within the continental United States. There is a report that was circulated. It has now been disclosed by the DEA that reported that over the course of a year and a half, numerous federal agencies had encountered individuals who refer to themselves as Israeli art students, essentially visiting these facilities, military installations, FBI, DEA, INS, both the publicly listed addresses as well as some that are not made public, and those particular facilities are intended to be kept secret. And they began to ask questions and attempt to sell their art. And we reported that this was a dynamic that had been described by government documents as an intelligence gathering operation. Following that particular story, we then described the U.S. intelligence community's grave concerns that our civilian telecommunications are compromised and vulnerable to intelligence gathering because many of the companies that provide services in our telephone calling are owned by or closely aligned with Israel, and that they have been occasionally investigated by our federal government for tapping or taking information from our telecommunications for the purposes of intelligence. And finally, that there is a concern in our government that the way in which we actually conduct wiretapping under law enforcement granted judge approved surveillance subpoenas is also potentially vulnerable to compromise and intercept. Excuse me again, because some of the companies involved with the manufacturing of that equipment are Israeli and that they've never been tested for vulnerabilities, and that too has been investigated as a potential threat. Potential and investigation are the important things to remember. There is no claim by anybody in our government that the government of Israel or anybody in Israel is actually spying, that these are mysteries, that there is evidence to suggest a problem, and they've yet to been able to solve it.
Did anyone tell you to kill the story?
No. As a matter of fact, what happened was we did put the transcripts of my story on the internet, and after a period of several days, it was taken down off the internet as what I've been told was merely to make available for a huge deluge of war-related material. You got to remember, this was December, so we were still very much in the throes of the September 11th aftermath, and there was war underway in Afghanistan, and they had to make way for other news, and we've done some follow-up reporting on it, and there has since our story, which was denounced by the pro-Israel lobby in this country as anti-Semitic and biased and inaccurate, much of what we've reported has now been reported all over the world, because the documents that I used and was careful to protect, because some of it was considered classified and secret at the time, have now appeared virtually all over the world, corroborating our story and what we reported.
Well, I agree that talks should continue, creation of a Palestinian state after the violence has stopped is a laudable goal. I certainly hope that the Cheney visit is a productive visit. I think the moderate Arab states have to be working closely with us to find both a way to stop the violence and an end game that makes sense for everyone in the region, which includes the survival and security and respect for the state of Israel, which I think is absolutely essential to an essential goal of U.S. foreign policy and one I strongly support.
And Robert Simpson emails, could you ask Representative Harman about the deportation of Israeli art students spying in the U.S. and should this worry us? Are you familiar with this issue?
Of Israeli arts, I'm certainly familiar with the fact that we have been rounding up people on student visas and considering whether they might have had anything to do with terrorism, and some of those rounded up are Israelis, but I don't know the specific facts. I would not like to comment except to say that I am not in favor of unlimited detention. I voted for the Patriot Act, which passed the Congress, which put limits on detention, and I think there ought to be court review after 7 days or an appropriate period of time about why it is that we're holding people, and roundups are not things that I think